Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy-Tainer.
Video games.
And Josh Brown.
Hello there.
Hello there. Now, we have been getting some more information as to when things might be getting back to normal. So hopefully there's not that many more of these webcam-only chats to go. But we also thought we would open with just a quick sort of summary of what we've been up to that hasn't been gaming-related. And then we're going to dive into the absolute insanity of what we've been playing, because none of it makes any sense, especially on my part. But you wanted to start with something that we've been doing that isn't game-related. Ben Roy, how's your life been?
You see that this is all a ploy because I've been watching a film called The Final Fantasy Spirits of Inn.
Oh,
let me tell you that. God. I have consumed two bits of Final Fantasy media over my lifetime. That and what is it that, what was that other one with Sephiroth in it? That film that they did?
Advent Children.
Yeah, that one. This is better than that one. And I just want to say the underrated movie.
It's not, like, is it?
No, I think it's been almost 20 years. I think you should give it a go. Go back in there. Get involved. Still looks good. Great cast. What do you think?
I can't. The sentence, the only Final Fantasy media you've experienced is Spirits Within and Advent Children is... I almost want to stay in lockdown so I never have to see you again for that. That's the worst thing you could say. Josh, have you seen Spirits Within?
I've seen bits of it, like about 10 years ago when a friend was trying to get me into Final Fantasy. Can't remember anything that happened. No, but I do appreciate that little comment because the people at home sadly won't be able to see this, but I could see your face during when Ben Roy was talking there. I could see the contortions you were pulling, and I'll never forget that. So now I always associate that face with these Final Fantasy CG movies.
Well, the thing is, like, when Spirits Within came out and it was like, oh my God, they're finally going to do a Final Fantasy movie. And obviously we had the Golden Trilogy of 7, 8, and 9, and I still like 10. And then they did Spirits Within. And I remember as a young lad running to the cinema with all my friends to be like, oh my God, what have they done? Look at the graphics, look at it, it's amazing. That movie has nothing to do with Final Fantasy whatsoever. And the more you delve into it, the more I think it was just a name bolted onto some other treatment that was hanging around in someone's back pocket at the time. And it's just, that's a travesty, that. But
just a great sci-fi movie. Steve Buscemi, Ving Rhames. What more do you want? I can't remember the rest of the cast.
But there's a lot of good people in there. Final Fantasy. I would like something Final Fantasy related. Was there a single Moogle in it? No.
There was probably a dead chocobo somewhere.
it's not a good time for me. But to be honest, I've not been back to it since, what was it, 2002?
It was 2001 it came out. The first time I watched it was on a, you know, when Blockbuster started getting rid of all their VHSs. My mum just came home with it one day, like for like £1 or something. It was like, have this.
Just along with
like the Terminator and stuff. So I watched that, yeah.
Oh God, did you watch it? You watch it before you saw the Terminator?
Probably.
Brilliant. Good. That's a good life trajectory to be on. Josh, what have you been up to that isn't game related?
Well, Scott Tilford, I have been, this might be worse. I've been rewatching the Twilight series. I've been going through them all, and I'm currently up to Rick and Dawn.
Why?
You know what's even worse? They might be all right, you know? They might be good.
Stop it.
The first one's bad. The first one's not good, okay? But it's good crack. It's way more entertaining than some of the most boring MCU films. The second one, the one I was expecting.
Wait a minute. You're saying that Twilight's better than some of the worst MCU films?
It's better than Thor: The Dark World, I'll tell you that.
Okay, I don't know, man.
Three. Okay. New Moon, I thought that was going to be the most boring one. Good crack as well. Turns out to be quite a competently made movie. I watched a clip the other night. it's by bloody David Slade, the guy who did 30 Days a Night, and I'd seen it before, and I didn't really like it that much, but this time around, they managed to make it pretty good. It's quite interesting. The Jacob and Edward, you know, versus love triangle thing, horrible. They're all horrible people. But the vampire action, surprisingly good. I'm in it. I'm looking forward to the last two installments, to be honest. I might crack open a little Bev tonight and just watch Brick and Dawn Part 1. That's where I'm at, Scott.
What, Jonathan and Ben Roy.
What made you want to go back to them? How did you stumble on that?
Well, I wanted to for a while because I always wondered whether or not they were actually bad or whether it was just kind of one of those internet furore things of, you know what I mean? God. Like, we don't like stuff that a lot of teenage girls like. Maybe we're just being a bit too harsh of it. And then going back, I kind of agree with that. You know what I mean? They're not as bad as what they could have been or what people said. There's a lot of dumb stuff in there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're like Citizen Kane, although they're as good as the good MCU movies. But... Mm-hmm. There's a lot of crack to them, man.
I think you speak for yourself in regards to liking things teenage girls. Like, I'm a huge Carly Rae Jepsen fan, so I don't really mind what comparisons you want to make.
What I should clarify, when you're about 13 or 14, you have an intense hatred of what teenage girls like. But now you're older, with hindsight,
you just learn from
you understand the world a bit more. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, well, what was all the fuss over, really? It's all right. It's fine.
I've never watched them, probably never will.
Oh God!
To be fair, yeah, I wouldn't go out my way to recommend them to you. But if you had seen them before and you wanted to see how they hold up, the answer is surprisingly well.
Considering how far Robert Pattinson his career has come since then, it's insane seeing him start there and then look at the trajectory of stuff like High Life, and he's going to be Batman and Tenet as well.
This is the thing, man. Going back to watch it, I don't want to make this a Twilight podcast or anything, but it has a bunch of like really good actors in it. Like, I love Kirsten Stewart. I think she's gone down a similar trajectory as Robert Pattinson since in a lot of good indie movies. But like the supporting cast, there's Anna Kendrick in there. There's Rosita from The Walking Dead in there. There's a bunch of other people.
That her full name.
It's good stuff. Yeah, I forgot the actress's name.
Near enough. I mean, yeah, the thing with, I don't know, man, to be fair, I've not been back to them since whatever it was, 2003 or something. And I remember just being dragged to those movies by my girlfriend at the time and just thinking, what's going on with the effect? And that bit when he runs up the tree and it just looks
horrendous.
That's all the first movie. I had broken up with her by the time that New Moon came out. So it didn't last very long, but I never saw Eclipse. Maybe there's a whole, you know, treasure trove of vampire delights just waiting.
There is, to be fair, you know? Yeah. Like, speaking of terrible effects, I've been playing Mafia 2 as well.
That's... Well, you can't have a game yet, mate. I've still got to do my non-game thing.
Sorry, Scott.
It's all right, which is only to say that me and my wife have been experimenting with different breakfasts from different parts of the world every single day, because how else are you going to use up everything else in the fridge? So we have, we've done a bit of everything. We did a bit of a Japanese breakfast. We had a bit of a salmon and a rice breakfast. We did a Mexican wrap thing that had, like, avocados in a wrap in the morning. And we did... oh God, there's so many. There was one that had a whole load of olives and stuff in the morning. Basically, I would recommend shaking up your breakfast, your mornings, just for the sake of starting the day on some fish, because
I've been looking at these photographs that get put up of this endeavor, and I'm very, very jealous because I want all of these meals, to be honest, all of these breakfasts that look very good.
What I'm saying is imagine having breakfast and imagine waking up before 12 over the past 4 days I've had.
Let me get up even earlier to try different types of breakfast. So it's been fun. I would recommend the Japanese breakfast and the Turkish breakfast for those out there. But yes, we can segue into video games. Josh, you want to talk about Mafia 2? Because that thing seems like it's on fire.
Yeah, me and Ewan just covered it in the news, so check that out for our like immediate response. But I got this for the bank holiday weekend. I actually bought it on Tuesday when it came out because it was the full surprise drop thing. They announced the Mafia trilogy, then they announced that 2 was going to release on Tuesday, so I bought it. And man, this thing is like a complete disaster. It's one of the buggiest games that I've personally played. Like, really? I would put it up alongside the likes of Assassin's Creed Unity or Fallout 76. Like, it's that level of just... they completely dropped the ball. Like,
Unity is the bar. That's the lowest bar we've got this generation. It's that bad.
The thing about those games is you can kind of excuse them because they were at least, you know, like current gen offerings. But this is a remaster that's barely had anything added to it. And yet it still runs like, I can't say in a podcast, poop. It's like from head to toe, it's just broken in. For the first few hours, I kind of quit some slack. I remember messaging you saying, like, it's not too bad. You can overcome it. Mafia 2 is still a great game. I'm right at the very end. I'm on the final mission now. My lord, the past few hours have just been an utter slog. Like the way the frame rate tanks, even when you're in your apartment, nothing's going on. In the things stuttering all over the place. To weird issues like the fact that the dialogue only goes in one headphone for whatever reason. I don't know why that works. To the fact that like the audio mixing is just so off that you have to constantly turn up the game and turn it down. It's like a complete shambles. It does Mafia a disservice. And it makes me, it's one of the first times where I properly wanted a refund for a game. I haven't asked for one, but I considered it when I first got it. And I was saying to Ewan earlier on that like I even considered playing it on PlayStation Now. I considered streaming it because that seemed preferable to what they've actually released for £25.
Let me very quickly drop something in here, right? Because comparing remasters, I bought the Saints Row 3 remaster as soon as that was announced, because Saints Row 3 is one of my favorite games of all time. I absolutely love it. And so when they put out all the side-by-side comparisons of the new one, the amount of work they've done to Saints 3 is ludicrous. Like, that thing is completely overhauled, like, completely new character models, textures across the board, like, just everything. And it's great. But it's greater on Xbox One X because it runs at a solid 60 and in 4K, and I got it on PS4 Pro, which is fine, but it's not, it could be better. And I just in a momentary lapse of, you know, the old quarantine madness, I sort of forgot that I owned an Xbox One X, to be fair. There's nothing else to play on it. And so like I got Saints Row and then I was like, no, it's better on the other thing. Have you guys ever gone through the refund process of trying to get a refund on PlayStation?
Yes, I did. I only one time because
ludicrous.
Yeah,
it's ludicrous. Like they asked, like just so many things. I was like, look, I was so frank. I was like, this was an impulse buy, and to be honest, and the frame rate's a bit naff, and I've read it's a bit better somewhere else. Can I please just get my money back? I've only played it for like 20 minutes, and you just get all these like stock responses of like, can we have a detailed response of where exactly did it happen? Did you get any error messages? Like whatever. And I just replied, I was like, for the love of God, I'll just keep it. So like,
yeah. Sorry, Benroy.
I was going to say, for me, I tried once before and successfully got a refund because I woke up to a little notification on my phone from PayPal saying, you have had £300 taken out of your account. And some little goblin had gone and got one of the FIFAs. It'll be on my trophies. This is just a FIFA game somehow. For some reason, I played a FIFA game. Yeah, and they spent £300 on the FIFA coins. Wow. Speaking to PayPal, this is a hint for everyone out there. PayPal warned me not to go through them and make sure that I contact Sony first, because if I got a refund through them, Sony blacklisted you forever and your account's basically just dead. Right. So yeah, that was a long process. That took 4 days to get all that money back, but I eventually did.
They got there for you. Like I get that on their end, they don't just want to be handing out refunds left, right, and center. But I just kind of thought, like, look, I've only played it for 20 minutes. Like, just let me get my money back or whatever. In Mafia 2's case, though, I guess because you've played so much of it, that'll make it impossible to get your money back.
But, yeah, that was the thing. It was when I was first booting it up, like the first night I played it, I must have played it for an hour or two, and then I got on it in the morning afterwards, and I just thought, this is bad, maybe I should get a refund. Obviously I didn't continue playing it, but like their system's so weird. Like you were saying, I've tried once before with a FIFA as well, Benroy, and it took me 3 weeks of back and forth responses, emailing, instant chat, and actually phoning up, and I got nowhere, and they just said like, you're not allowed. And I was like, why? I've downloaded a game that I didn't mean to buy, because I bought it through a glitch. It's that thing where I was on the PlayStation 3 and it was controlling my PlayStation 4, and it actually accidentally bought a game. Since then, I've put two-factor authentication on, so that can't happen. But
Right.
So that happened, and I was I was pointing out a glitch that could happen, and also asking for my money back, and they just kind of disregarded it all. And I was like, oh, what a good 3 weeks of my time. Bear in mind, before I had a job or anything, you know what I mean? I was at university, so funds were very limited, and I didn't play any of the game. It was just downloaded, and I thought,
all of that is
So
I'm going to say all of that is way more valid than just me sort of impulse buying Saints Row 3. But at the same time, their refund process is ludicrous.
Do you remember
I was going to say
like the attitude era of when you bought a game, you could trade it back in a week later and get your full refund. Like I would go through and for about a couple good months, I was buying a game every like 2 weeks or so and taking it back in and just recouping that money. Like Godfather, Hitman, Blood Money, let's go. Let's keep going this train. Let's keep spending more money. And then I got shut down eventually.
We kind of
it doesn't
wonder
make
why
that there isn't. Oh, sorry. I keep just chalking over you both. I was going to say, I can't believe that there isn't a system like Steam where you have a set amount of like time that you can play the game for, and if you don't like it within that time, you can send it back. That seems there's got to be some like leeway. I feel with Sony especially, there's no leeway with taking get back games or refunding games that are broken or that you like got on a bad faith purchase or something.
Yeah, they don't really have like a, well, they have like a system for refunds, but they have like a blank statement that says if you've booted it up at all, then you aren't allowed a refund. But I was like, I'll just see if it'll like change or whatever. But I guess in regards to Mafia 2, though, like that genuinely feels unfinished, or it genuinely feels like it needed more development time. So would you overall say, have you got any like positive takeaways from it? Or is it just like, for the love of God, wait until it gets patched a lot more?
Yeah, I would not buy this as it is. I regret it fully. Like, I think if you buy it now, you're just essentially throwing £25 away, because there are better ways to play the game. Mm. And it actually gets worse if you play it on a PlayStation 4 Pro compared to a regular PlayStation. So yeah, like, considering they've done very little to it. I love Mafia 2 as a game. I think it's a great game. Mm. But you won't get that experience if you buy this version. Just wait until they fix it, because they've got to fix it. They can't just push this out. And it makes me worried, like, again, I said with you, and it makes me worried about what they're going to do with Mafia 1, because that's a total remake. And although parts of Mafia 2's remaster was outsourced, it's not a good look for this whole initiative.
No, I mean, I think looking at the way that they've announced everything, I think Mafia 1 is their big deal thing, because that's getting completely overhauled, like Saints 3 style. And then it was like, well, you know, we have these other properties, let's just sort of fart those out as well, do a version of Mafia 2 and a version of Mafia 3. Like, Mafia 3's obviously had very little work done to it, just because it's the newest one. But I guess overall, like, Benoit, are you interested in the Mafia series, or did you play them before?
I looked at them with judging eyes as a younger person, going, just looks like some sort of GTA clone. And then I watched people play them. I remember sat there, watched a lot of free being played, but I never really felt the need to jump in and give it a go. So it's not like, I also compared it a lot to the Godfather games back in the day. So I don't know. I don't think it's me, especially in this time when I'm trying to barrel through games on my new scheduler before other games come out.
Because like the Mafia games, especially Mafia 2, is this hyper detailed, like, kind of almost the direction Rockstar would go in, like with Red Dead 2, like sort of more meticulous, like you can fuel your car up and you've got to drive at the speed limit and stuff like that, like things that I guess like a new age Rockstar might actually try and put into a GTA. But this definitive edition is clearly not the definitive edition, and I guess just wait it out until it's way better.
Low edition, just, you know.
Yeah, we got your cash edition. Benoit, you mentioned The Forest, which I have heard of. I don't know if Josh has, but what's the deal with The Forest?
So let me just, I think it's going to disappear. Like, I edited a video the other day, and it was called 10 Best Horror Multiplayer Video Games out there. And it's co-hosted by Ash and Kirsten. It's not going to be, I don't think it'll go out for a while yet. But one of them on there, spoilers, was The Forest. And I was like, oh, this looks all right. Just, you know, on a little island. And it kind of got like a, adult Minecraft vibes from it, like, you know, Minecraft, but what if it was, you know, it's weird because Minecraft, I say anyone could play that game, but this seemed a bit more like R-rated, like 18, and just going on around with my friend, you know, chopping some wood, like, you know, going around, starting a little community for ourselves, and then every now and then getting hassled by some mad cannibals, like some big lads going around, and then they only get worse. There's at one point, you know, that thing out of Inside at the very end,
the big blob.
Yeah, there's them that. Things like that are on this island as well. And called Armsies. I'm like, get off me, you. And I just had to run away. So I spent like a good portion of my weekend just chopping down trees to build a wall to keep us safe and build our cabin and build like log things and just build all this stuff just to like make a nice little home. And then eventually find a cave full of cannibals. And then I was eaten.
It kind of sounds like a horror version of Minecraft.
It totally is. It's just you crash on the island and there's a sort of like a story that it's a story. There's like parts of the island when you find like bits of paper because you're trying to find your son, Timmy, I think his name is. And you go through the progression of going through caves, going to find these camps, but you've got to do it so cautiously because there's different levels of these cannibals. There's like the little proper like Smeagols, like, yeah, they can't do nothing to you. Then you got the big blue lads that are just, they will ruin your day. And then when you get two or three of them, you need to just run. And then you've got the Armsies, which just rip you in half. But I've been really just focused on building a nice little house.
Is there a single player mode in it, or have you got to do everything online co-op?
The single player is basically, the game can either be single player or you can play with friends, up to four. So it's just the same game. But like, you know, like when you play a game and just, oh, this person's just man. There's just another person with you sort of
thing.
Right. So it's the exact same game, but on your own.
That sounds cool. Josh, have you heard of this?
Yeah, me and Kirsten, actually, we did a horror, upcoming horror games list because the sequel's coming out. And she again was saying about how like good it was. And I piqued my attention looking at it properly because I love the idea of like like what Benroy was saying, that you're on this island, you've got to survive first and foremost, but also you've got a bunch of these cannibal lads after you, which sounds right up my street and sounds like a perfect kind of multiplayer late night game, you know what I mean? I haven't had one of those in a while, a proper good cooperative experience. So I kind of dig it, and I might get it when it's on sale. But
it's on sale now, and also it's I tell you how scary it is when I'm chopping the tree and you hear some rustling, and I think they just play noises into like your speakers, because I was like, what was that? And then you look around, there's nothing there. And then another time I'm just chopping and I look up, and on the horizon three or four guys run past. I'm like, and I'm just telling my friend, just get back here, that they're looking at me now. They don't just attack you straight away. There's this thing where they like they sort of like cut, like you get down the street, come on, man, you coming at me, man. You want some bruv? It's like that to me, like, you know, imagine a bunch of kids just like stopping you in the street trying to like mug you.
Is that your way of fending them off from the camp?
I'm going back, like, leave me alone. And they're just like that the whole time, like trying to come at me, and I'm just terrified. And it's on sale now, and I recommend it, Brown.
Well, that's what I've heard. Like, that's what piques my interest the most, the way the AI works, because apparently it's not just like these mindless zombie types running after you. Like, they actually, you know, goad you into doing certain things, or they might see where you're camped and then not attack you straight away, just kind of assess you, but then come back at night and like then, you know, try to get you. I love that idea that they've got a certain amount of intelligence and you have to kind of assess what they're going to do, not necessarily just back up and kind of, you know, flail at them with a with an axe or something.
I went last on this throw, but like we put our encampment, so there's like, say, two, imagine like a square obviously, and two of the sides are against the cliff, so they can't really get behind us. But when I was still building like the wall, like two of them snuck around and started beating up our farm. It's like, get out of here, you little, and like things like that. They come straight at you, they're trying to like ruin your day before that sort of thing. And there's all these things like, if it rains, you get cold and you need to dry off and stuff. And it sounds frustrating, but it's not. We built a little raft and we just went around the raft around the island, found a boat. And then you see these little bastards. Can we say bastards? I'm pretty sure.
You've done it now, Benroy.
You see them. They're kind of like coming out of the trees now and then, looking at us and running back in, or running, scurrying down the beach, waiting for us to get close. And it's just like, there's something about this game and I can't wait to play it later on.
I love that.
As it reminds me of The Long Dark. Do you guys play that?
No.
The Long Dark sounds like The Forest, but minus like more of the enemy encounter stuff. And I guess minus the building and stuff. Just a totally different game, but it reminds me of The Long Dark. The Long Dark was just like, you know, you take first-person survival aspects, like 101, and you're just, like, wind chill matters and wind direction matters, and trying to, like, hunker down and build a fire and, like, getting crafting components and stuff like that. I guess in my mind, I was imagining this sort of, like, derelict, you know, you're in the middle of this place and you're trying to sort of scavenge to survive, and it's kind of that tone that was, like, very much in across, like, the mid-2010s.
Yeah. It's Castaway, but with cannibals. That's what I'm going to say. And a bit of a new island. But yeah,
that sounds
terrifying.
Cool.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
So for my list, I in absence of there being like that much new stuff, obviously Last of Us 2 is out in like 4 weeks or whatever it is, 3 weeks or something. I sort of just turned my attention towards everything else. I was like, well, I can just make new releases happen if they're new to me. So I've just been returning to a bunch of stuff. The Last Dance on Netflix got me playing old school NBA games. So I went back to NBA Playgrounds. NBA 2K20 is on sale for 90% off. Not that we're shilling for 2K, but it's down to like £5 or something. So I bought that on Switch and then realized that it's the file size is too big and it won't even fit on the Switch. So I just own a copy of that as well. But NBA 2K is really good if you play it on Xbox because it's on the Game Pass. But then for the most part, I've just been playing Splinter Cell because I put a video out on Saturday about how Ubisoft should resurrect it and what really happened with Michael Ironside across the 2010s. And I just think like Splinter Cell, like that whole period where everything went sideways with like Splinter Cell Conviction when it first got announced and everyone hated it and they sort of pivoted the design. And then when they did Blacklist, everyone hated it because Michael Ironside wasn't in it. And obviously the series has just been away for like 7 years. I guess, first of all, where do you guys come down on Splinter Cell in general? Are you both lapsed fans, or when was the last time you loved it?
Lapsed fan for me. I do love it, but it's been a long time since I've touched the games. Like, I haven't played the game since Blacklist came out, which I loved, but I, like you, I've wanted to go back to it. I was, funnily enough, I was watching over the weekend, or maybe it was the start of last week, Mark Brown of Game Maker's Toolkit has just done a really great series on how stealth mechanics work in video games. And obviously, a huge part of that was focusing on Splinter Cell and a lot of Splinter Cell clips from the older games. And I was watching them thinking, I could go for this, because in a way, like, that style of stealth has just kind of, it's gone out of vogue, hasn't it? Like,
oh, yeah,
you don't get stealth games like
that
anymore, that a kind of methodical approach to ghosting through an area and trying to utilize all of these gadgets in an interesting way. So I am tempted to go back to those that original trilogy at least. So I think you might spur me on here, Scott.
Yeah, man, the thing is, like, those original ones, like, because I went back through all of them when they added them, but not all the whole way through, but went back to each one of them for a good few hours when they added them to the backwards compatibility. Like, they're all backwards compatible on Xbox now, which is great. But yeah, that's the thing, that original trilogy, like, they're like, it's like awkward stealth, like you are sort of moving through. They're very much like prototypes until Chaos Theory perfected it, and then Chaos Theory is like this immaculate, you know, one of the best games of all time kind of thing. But then they also, because like action games were on the rise or whatever, they changed it so much with Conviction. I don't know if you had like a negative reaction to Conviction at the time. I did. Then it was, you know, they brought in the mark and execute mechanic. So it's like one stealth kill equals auto targeting like four more guys. And you can just blur through that game. Like, I beat the whole thing in like an afternoon just by throwing proximity mines everywhere, headshotting everybody and doing sort of minimal stealth takedowns. But like, they brought that stuff back in Blacklist. It's just that people didn't care by then. So yeah, having played like recently like Double Agent, Conviction and then Blacklist, I just think it's about time it came back. Like, stealth isn't a thing, but Phantom Pain did immaculately well. Hitman 1 and 2 are like, you know, super well regarded. I guess, like, just to open it up, like, I don't know, do you think Splinter Cell should return now, or what would you change about it if you brought it back?
Bring it back, please. Now, the whole thing of them bringing it back in Ghost Recon, which still burns at me, because, like, you brought him back to my
so close.
There's got to be sunk out there. But, I mean, like, that's one of the reasons I got that game, to play that part of it. I bought that game for, like, £15 just to play, like, the Splinter Cell bit, and then ended up enjoying it. It was quite a fun time. But I still remember the time when I didn't have an original Xbox. My friend did, but I had a PS2. And when they announced Splinter Cell coming to the PS2 via like PlayStation Magazine, I lost it. And I love those first three games. Even though Pandora Tomorrow was the end airport levels put me through so much pain and suffering. It was
so much on one checkpoint.
Not a fun time sometimes, but I've pretty much enjoyed every Splinter Cell game, even the annoying one that doesn't have Michael Ironside in it. I think about Sam Fisher. He needs to be gruff and old and not
tell you what, right?
Happy in any way.
What's really weird is in researching the piece for Saturday, I did not realize at all that Ubisoft did a whole sort of mini Splinter Cell DLC for Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Like, obviously, they started with Wildlands. They did a whole other one for Breakpoint called Deep State that just got zero coverage whatsoever. But really? There's a ton of Michael Ironside in it, yeah. And it's all about, like, him returning and working with the ghosts, and it's very much played like a stealth game. And it even has the music from Chaos Theory. It has the old, like, Eamon Tobin was the composer back then. They take the music from that and they put it in. I was just like, when did you do this? Like, they have that whole thing with Breakpoint where, you know, they apologized for it and said they would fix it in the coming months. And then the big return to form thing was this add-on called Deep State, which is kind of like their little mini Splinter Cell. So I almost bought Breakpoint on a whim, and then realized that it's still 50 English pounds. And I was like, no, I'm not that crazy. I'll take a Saints Row 3 remaster instead. But at the same time, like, yeah, do you guys know about that? That they did like a whole
not at all
add-on thing?
I knew they were going to do it. I didn't realize it had come out. Like, that's a big issue. I almost bought the game as well when it was on sale. It was on sale for £15. And if I'd known that was in it, I might have actually took the plunge.
I know. Well, it's in it now, I guess, like, because Breakpoint's back up to full price because they think that they've patched it enough. Like, it has received a bunch of overhauls in terms of its base mechanics. It's obviously way more polished now than it was at launch. But yeah, now it's back up to full price because they obviously think it's like a full price Ghost Recon again. But it just sort of knocked, like, I was just completely, like, blindsided by it. Like, oh my God, there's this whole Michael Ironside fronted DLC that I totally missed. But still, Splinter Cell overall was on that massive Walmart leak from like 2 years ago. So there has to be something eventually. It just seems kind of ridiculous to not do something. Both you guys put The Witcher 3 down. Josh, you finished it. Benoit, I think you're still swimming in the lakes of The Witcher. But where are you guys both on it at the minute?
You first, Josh.
Well, I did. I managed to finish it again, and it's still... It's just so good, isn't it? It's just really nice. Like, I was kind of a bit sick of it towards the end, but that's just because I put so much time into it and I was a bit done and wanted to move on. But now I've had a bit of space from it. Now that I've finished it and got all the Witcher gear and stuff, I'm going to go back and play the DLC because whilst I've played I played Blood and Wine, which is the big 40-hour expansion, but I never played Hearts of Stone, and I've got it bought and installed. So now that I've had a week or so away from it, I thought I was done. I thought, you know what, I've played 60, 70 hours of it, but now I want to go back. Now I want to return and do this DLC because it's scratching that itch. We did that whole podcast on it being the perfect game to play right now, and I still stand by that. I think you just lose yourself in it so much, and there's so much to do, and the characters are so enjoyable to be around. And this time around, I even finished everything. Like, I finished all of the Witcher contracts. I finished all of the brawling mini games. Yeah, I didn't do that the first time around. I popped the trophies for them, and I thought, this is just satisfying. I just love to eat and drink this up.
the Heart of Stone DLC has a great Gondor O'Dim is such a great character, and like, I forget the name of the dude that's immortal in that, but it's like they literally pick apart in that sort of Witcher style, that, like, you know, dark fantasy style of like, okay, if you literally couldn't die, you'd get so sick of it, you would lose all your friends and family, and he's just experimenting with ways to try and die. And it's just this great, like, macabre story about this immortal who wished for, like, infinite life or whatever. And then it just ultimately becomes this curse that he can't escape from. Like, yeah, Hearts of Stone is brilliant. Benroy, how have you found it?
I don't think I've ever been as wrong in my life than I have with this game.
Play Breath of the Wild. Will you play Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, I've played it. It's fine. I can't believe I've left it this long. And now I'm thinking about it. It's weird. I've got so many things that I want to play now. I've come from there, nothing. And I'm like, well, I need to wake up a few hours earlier than I would normally just play a bit of Witcher so that I can get some Forest in, so I can get some Gears 5 Horde mode in later, so I can do this and that. But I've met the king guy now, the big king lad who lives on the boat. So I'm there now, and I've done some other things. I've tried the Jedi mind trick a few clown looking guys, and they're like, oh, you can't do that. So I have to stab them all up a few times. But I'm just really enjoying everything about it, and now that I've got to the point where I've got thousands of crowns. It doesn't matter if my sword breaks anymore. I'll just fix it. It's fine. I go to the same guy in Novigrad. He's like, top-notch swords. I'm like, shut up. I don't care. Just fix my sword and I can leave.
I was going to ask, did you get like a decent armor set? Because you were dressed like a jester last time when you were hitting it.
What I've done is I just got the OG armor, upgraded that, and I'm just going with that. And until I get hit by something and destroyed, I'm just going to roll with that now until the end of the game.
Do the Witcher gear quest.
I don't know where there's no sign saying Benroy. The sun is here. I've looked for everything and I can't see it. And I'm just like, if I do that, then I'm going to get annoyed again. Then I'm going to put this game down for another 5 years.
Why would that make you put it down? You get a lovely little armor set.
I just want it to just lie down and just say, here it is. And just give me what I want. Don't make me work for it.
I mean, I forget what the name of the starter gear is. I know I think it's probably like Skull of the Wolf or something, but like you get the Ursine armor for me. I know Josh, you had like some low vest looking thing.
Well, I went from the cat armor to the griffin armor, which I focused on for a while, but then I got right to the end of the game and then took your advice and got the Ursine armor. I was like, I need this to finish the game with. So yes. Then I swapped and then wasted all of my money, thousands and thousands of crowns, so many resources just to make sure I had that armor for the end game. And you know what? I regret none of it because it looks sick.
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, that's the armor that's on the, if you buy the new Geralt collectible figure that they've done, that's the armor that he's got on, which proves that even CDPR are full backers of the Ursine armor. But I guess, like, where do you guys go from now? Like, Josh, you're going to try the DLC. Benroy, what are you going to do next?
I'm going to finish it before, May the 21st or something like that? I'm just wanting to get the game.
June 19th for the Last of Us.
June, yeah. Sorry, I don't even know what time is anymore. I'm going to try and get it done before then. I'm not rushing it. I'm doing sort of like big quest that seems to go for 7 hours. I'm like, okay, I'll just finish this. And then I'm like, oh, actually, I've gone for another hour or so, but I'm doing side bits as well. I'm doing a few witch contracts. Not so many of them, because it's like a lot of them are just like kill monster over here or kill monster in cave sort of thing. So like, I mean, that, I guess that's for someone, but I want to see more of the story, and I'm really getting involved. Like, I want to like know Triss more. I want to find out the workings of the criminal underground, and I'm really sort of like in the whole like minutiae of it now. I'm sort of so sucked in to this game that I almost want to lie to my friend saying, oh no, I'm feeling ill, I can't play games, and then just appear offline and play The Witcher. Yes.
It's the best.
It's funny though, because I finished it in 60-ish hours, but you're already nearly 50 hours in, and it sounds like you haven't even got a Skellige yet.
Well, that's what's blowing my mind. Like, Josh, you've done all the monster contracts, like the story front to back, all the monster contracts, all the side missions, all of that in 60 hours.
I must have, like, I don't know, I must have rinsed it, man. Like,
hundreds of hours in and I still have Witcher contracts to do. Like,
I don't know, maybe it's because I've played it once before, so I knew how to get through, you know, quests in a more optimal manner or something like that. I don't know. I didn't do many of the treasure hunts, but yeah, most of the main quests, at least all the ones on the board, I managed to do those. A couple of ones that you just find in the wild, all of the Witcher quests, the brawling quests. And I don't know, maybe it's because I had that prior knowledge and I wasn't just kind of wandering around for a lot of it. I knew exactly where to go and how to optimize my time.
Skellige is that island, right?
Yes.
I think I'm going to be there soon because I've been trying to get there.
Region, yeah.
There's one island that I can't get to yet where someone else gave me a side quest for. Mm. And then I need to... I'm going to get a good sword soon because there's a bloke whose quest is like 23 saints. I can't do it yet. I'm not old enough yet. So when I'm old enough, I'm going to go back there and do that one and get a nice little sword as well. Still no armor though.
Like some of the quests and stuff, like every time I would go there, like any village, you go look to the quest board and then I would just hammer X, take every single quest. And I would just do that across like the main campaign. So when by the time I'd finished, I was doing like some Witcher stuff along the way. But once I hit credits and I went back into that world, I just had this massive ream of just side stuff to do and Witcher contracts to do. And I was going to say as well, Benroy, when you mentioned like, you know, the idea that the quest is like, oh, just go kill this thing. There's always something else to it. There's always some story strand that like spirals out of that like actually the monster was a person all along and they have a partner and you chase them down and there's dialogue trees and whatever. Like it's
not the Foglin one, just the Foglin, mate. It was just a Foglin in a foggy cave.
You have a little note next to him, a little audio diary, a little note next to him about why he was foggy.
I don't know, but he did so much damage. It was like, I was over the leveled for the quest, and he was still three hits killing me. So I just stood. I did a lot of the fight, and I got bored. So I was on my phone, and I was standing out of the way. He wouldn't come to me, so I just kept shooting him for about 5 minutes until he died.
Actually, that's something as well. Josh, did you cheese any bosses or anything by just like getting them out of bounds or something like that?
No, I was okay this time. Like, the game kicked my ass for the first 10 hours or something, which it always does. But by the time I got to most of the bosses in the main quest, I was so over-leveled, I had such good gear that I was just kind of... I think that's partly why I got through it so quick, because there was barely any kind of challenge. I think I might have just... I think I did too much exploring early on, so I had too many resources, and the gear was too good. And once you just get that... the Quen and then a dodge in, you can pretty much take anyone on as long as you know you have your shield up at all times. It's hard to get killed unless you get sidetracked by something.
Yeah, that big shield can take like one hit of pretty much anything, so you're okay just wading the hell in. I'm gonna end on have you guys seen any of the trailers for Maneater, the shark game?
Yes. No.
I impulse bought this because I can't not, really. And it was there, and I thought, you know, I loved Untitled Goose Game. If this is a new sort of like era of like animal-based games, I'll be a banter shark. That'll be great. And so I bought it, £35, and, you know, refund process, and I still have it. And it's fine. It's a fine game, but it hasn't grabbed me at all. So I would say to maybe be cautious. But, I mean, Josh, you said you've seen bits and pieces for it.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was 35 bones, though. That's steep. That's £10 more than the Mafia 2 remaster. I mean, that's completely write-off, but same price as Saints Row. That seems very steep for a game that I just kind of want to dick about on. You know what I mean? Sure it sounds fun, but...
Yeah, like, they've got this whole thing, hashtag SharpG. Like, they've got... It's surprising how deep it is. Like, no, genuinely, that's their hashtag. That's genuinely their thing. And it totally is. And you can cycle out different teeth. You can cycle out like different armor sets. So you can get like a radioactive shark that sort of sends like energy beams and stuff. And they're clearly having a lot of fun with it. But like, it's weird. It reminds me of Jaws Unleashed on the PS2, which was like one of the best sort of like 5, 6 out of 10 games. Like, it's very much in that bracket. But even at the beginning, like, I played it for like a couple of hours. You know, you take down a boat, you can jump out the water, and you can you can do like a tailspin thing, tail whip, where you knock explosive things back at enemies and stuff. Like, it's very much trying to be like big old banter. But the way that you control it, where it's this full 360, lock-on system, and you're trying to like aim upwards to come out of the water to then attack the thing that's in front of you, it's a bit weird. I don't know if I need more like updates or abilities for my shark, but it's a bit meh initially.
Is there a demo?
There's not a demo as far as I know. No, last I checked, there wasn't a demo. Otherwise, I could have saved myself 35 bones. But yeah. I just like impulse buy and stuff.
I tell you what you should have done, though, is you should have put a couple of pounds, a couple of ink coins towards Game Pass and played Alan Wake, mate, because Alan Wake's still excellent.
Let's finish on Alan Wake, because that's your thing that I know is one of your favorite games, or used to be, maybe still is.
It still is. Apart from my controller, which has drift? My character always drifts forward, so that's always a pain in my brain. But the game still looks phenomenal. Like, when it's doing its whole dark, sort of like cloudy, sort of windy areas. When it's daytime, the game does look dated in, because you can see that this texture is more low res than anything I could do in Paint. But I'm still so like enthralled in the world of Bright Falls, and I'm listening to more of the manuscripts that you pick up this time, and just getting really into the sort of the story of Alan Wake and noticing more like of the world popping, because I don't know if you two know, but this was meant to be an open world game before it ever came out, and then because over and over again it kept getting delayed, so they took this open world and they made like levels out of it and crafted out of that. I'm just about to enter the final mission now, and just like hanging out with characters like Barry, who throws Christmas lights on and has a headlamp. He's like, I've got the Eye of Mordor on my head as you're fighting people. Just some of the combat can get tough, but this game more than any teaches you, if you got a flashbang, if you got some flares, just use them and have a fun time, and also enjoy the character of Alan Wake and the world it's creating. And just like the Stephen King-esque story that's going on here.
That's the thing. I remember when it came out, I think because I came out of Max Payne and it was like the next Remedy game, I wanted more in that wheelhouse. And so the more Alan Wake became more supernatural and became more like Twin Peaks, and it's more like he's like someone talking backwards, and it embraced like it took that Address Unknown show from Max Payne where you had the talking pelican that was murdering people, and you sort of take that and make like a whole game out of that tone. Then I just, young me just wasn't ready for that. And after I went back to Alan Wake, I totally got it. And also having after seeing more Stephen King stuff and watching Twin Peaks. But at the time, it's weird because like obviously that game was an exclusive to the Xbox at the time anyway. Yeah. And then it feels like it's just like Remedy's little hidden gem. Like it's worth uncovering, but they never really advertised it. Max Payne's always held up way more than it.
It's weird. That it's, I'm glad it's come to Game Pass because I lent my copy to someone and then it's just never came back. I think it's because I got drunk one time at Pine and just go, I'm Alan Wake, I'm a writer. And just kept, and until he would borrow it. But they Xbox teased the Game Pass like game this week. I reckon they might put Control on there ready for the DLC that's coming out. Mm-hmm. And I really hope with the DLC that comes out, the AWE, not AEW, that we get this conversion of the worlds, and then they go, here's Alan Wake Remastered. It's on PlayStation now. Like, because it's so weird that they own the IP now, but they haven't moved it over to Xbox yet, to PlayStation yet. And I feel like so many more people, like, if they put it out, say, like, the magic sort of man, is it Manhunt? Manny, or what is that shark game called?
Manny is the shark one, yeah.
If they brought it out like a 35, 25, I think it would sell. Like, I don't know why it's not being put out again.
Yeah, it's just like Max Payne is always held up. Quantum Break, I feel, I mean, I really didn't like Quantum Break, but I feel like that had enough of this big sort of media push around it. It was like alongside the whole, you know, Xbox coming to the living room thing, and obviously the system, the Kinect being a bit naff, sort of like put a massive hole in Quantum Break. But yeah, Josh, where did you come down on Alan Wake overall? Were you a fan at the time?
Oh yeah, I'm with Ben Roy. Like at the time, I remember buying it for, it was even cheap back then. It was a couple of years after the fact. I got it for like £10. And I wasn't expecting much. I didn't read into anything beforehand. It completely blew me away because back then, obviously, I was a big fan of, you know, Twin Peaks and Stephen King stories. And it just kind of struck a chord with me. Like, I fully agree with Ben Roy. Like, the Alan Wake as a character, the atmosphere of that town, and just the way it kind of plays out and revels in those themes, for me, absolutely does it. I haven't played it since then, but I replayed it a lot at the time. So I have quite fond memories of it. But if it came to PlayStation, I would buy it in a heartbeat. Like
one of my favorite things is you can watch, because you can always watch TVs in their games, and they make a fake talk show where Sam Lake goes on a talk show and they're just like, hey, do the face. And he does the Max Payne face, which I, that's just one of the best sort of self-referential within their own little world Remedy things ever. And I think they've only expanded on that, like shared Remedy universe stuff going forward. Like Ben Roy said, like Control has this Alan Wake DLC. So it's pretty damn cool. But yeah, I guess for now, we've still got more stuff that we could get to. We might do a follow-up, sort of checking in on what we're playing, because at the minute, clearly, we're all over the place, but in a good way for the most part. But yeah, you can head over to Twitter, you can use the hashtag WCGP, let us know what you're playing at the minute, what are the questions you have about the industry, what sort of games you're looking forward to, or anything else that you think of that you'd like us to know about. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Taylor.
Watch the Spirits of Inn.
Do not do that. And Josh Brown.
Watch Twilight.
For the love of God. Bye, though.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.